You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, Jade brought us an interview with Nikki Turner, a vaccine director at Immunisation Advisory Care, an associate professor at the University of Auckland, where she talked to her about the implementation of vaccines and what they'll look like in New Zealand with the surrounding myths of vaccination that not only on a national scale, but also on an international scale, which we've seen cause problems in the past. Now, here's this interview that Jade has done.
Because New Zealand has handled COVID-19 in a much different way than other countries, do you believe it will be harder to implement a vaccine effectively?
No, not at all. But we will have a different approach than other countries. So we don't have the urgency that other countries have to introduce a vaccine as soon as possible because we don't have very sick and dying patients. So we have a bit more time to plan more effectively.
Great. Yeah, that is good to know. There are kind of also a lot of myths regarding vaccines, such as them causing birth defects. Are these debunked, and why do people seem to continue to fear vaccines?
There's a lot of myths around in general, and the myths are more a reflection of people feeling uneasy and scared. There is absolutely no evidence around birth defects. The vaccines have not actually even been given to pregnant women, so that's a completely made-up issue. What is happening with the vaccines is they are in the close ones, are in the final stages of very large clinical trials where they compare tens of thousands of people given a vaccine to tens of thousands of people not given the vaccine. That is the way you look at the safety profile of these vaccines. To date, their safety profile is looking excellent. Once they are actually introduced into the community, we will continue to follow them for safety in case there are very rare events that aren't picked up in these large clinical trials. This is the normal approach to any new vaccine. This is what the world has done historically with vaccines in terms of monitoring. And in fact, in this particular example now, the world is monitoring vaccine safety more closely than they've ever done before.
Yeah, that is pretty good for people that are a bit nervous about getting vaccines. But if they do refuse, if a lot of people refuse to be vaccinated, how will this affect the people around them, such as people with compromised immune systems?
Yeah, so at this stage, it's looking very likely that the vaccines are going to be effective for the individual who receives it to reduce the severity of disease. What we don't know yet is the vaccines will also reduce spread. If vaccines do reduce spread, then we would like a good number of people in the community to take them to stop them spreading it to others. But it doesn't have to be 100%, so that if there are still people in the community who don't want vaccines, that's fine. They take their individual risk with COVID and that's their personal choice. But so long as we get reasonable numbers of people in the population, maybe 60 or 70%, then we've got a good chance of stopping the spread of this virus. So we've always had this. We've always had people who are not confident about the science and reluctant to accept it. And New Zealand can walk with that so long as it's not large numbers.
So if the government were to start giving out vaccines to the community, is there a way that we can make sure that our minority or vulnerable communities can have the same access to the vaccines and prevent them from having the back foot?
Yeah, this is really, really important because traditionally in healthcare, the people who need it the most are most likely to miss out. So my understanding, and my own organisation is working very hard on this, is that at every level of the community, we have to look at ways of improving access to vaccines. And this will be vary from region to region, but each district health board has to look very hard at how they can reach out to the most important communities to get them vaccines when we've got enough vaccine to offer. So this would mean ensuring that very elderly people get it in residential care, ensuring communities in poverty reach it, particularly Māori and Pacific communities. So importance of going out to the community and not expecting the community to be able to come into health services. We did quite a lot with flu vaccine this year, with drive-through clinics, with outreach clinics, with community clinics, just trying to reach out to the community more. So New Zealand really has to put a lot of legwork into this to make sure that those who need vaccines the most do get them first.
All right, well, that is all the questions I have, and thank you so much for being here. Do you have any final thoughts on how we can make sure that vaccine implementation goes smoothly?
No, I think that the importance of being aware that there's an enormous amount of myths and misinformation on social media, and that, you know, understanding that the New Zealand health authorities are really trying to closely monitor and follow good science here, and that vaccines in New Zealand will only be licensed based on good science. You know, New Zealand will not license poor quality vaccines. And for us to sort of listen and be aware of that and have some confidence that our authorities are actually very good on their licensure processes. So it's not a bad country to be living in at the moment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.